The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying, 'You will be made free'?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The Son has a place there forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace and peace to each of you this Reformation Sunday from God, our Creator, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Last week, I raised the question, is the Bible true? I talked about a common assumption conservative and liberal Christians share, namely, that ancient people, which is to say the authors of Scripture, intended the stories they wrote to be taken literally. For conservative Christians, in turn, faith means accepting these stories as literally or historically true, even if they fly in the face of everything we know thanks to modern science. For liberal Christians, on the other hand, even if the stories were originally meant to be taken literally, we read them symbolically because we know better. But what if we, conservative and liberal Christian alike, are the ones who don't get it? What if they, that is, the writers of Scripture, told their stories symbolically? If so, then the question is no longer simply whether the Bible is true, but how or in what way the stories in the Bible are true. How the story in question, whether it happened or not, speaks to the deepest level of our being, offering insights regarding who we are, how we might live, and what our situation is vis-a-vis or in relation to God. Simple. This week, we turn to a much easier question than that. Are you free? Are you free? The 18th century philosopher Jean-Jacques Rousseau writes famously, "Man is born free, but he is everywhere in chains." Rousseau was talking about how modern nations repress the physical freedom of human beings in exchange for the security they receive upon entering society, and with it, a social contract. Yet, as all of you know, one can live in chains even if she or he is free. This is Jesus' point in today's gospel. "The truth will make you free," he says, to which his followers reply, taking him literally, "We've never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" That's exactly how they said it, too. Now, it's easy for us to look down at his disciples or the Pharisees who never get it, who never understand what Jesus is really saying. But we know what he means. Or do we? Are you free? Sit with that question for a moment. You recall when we began today's service, you confessed that you are not free, that you are captive, or as the old green LBW used to say, in bondage to sin. Do you really hear what you said? Our confession has its roots in the letters of Paul. And Paul, as you know, spoke of sin not as a misdeed or mere wrongdoing, but as a kind of cosmic power that enters the world through Adam's transgression, subjecting human beings as well as the entirety of creation to its bondage. This power is the source of our sins, things we do against our better self-interests that lead to self-destruction. But God doesn't stop by allowing this power to reign. God becomes present in this world, manifesting an opposite power, the power of what Beverly Gaventa calls a kind of reckless love that, at least in principle, overcomes the power of sin and in the process sets us free. And so I ask again, are you free? Martin Luther, whose writings sparked the Reformation we celebrate today, spoke likewise of not being free, of the bondage of the will, offering insights that modern psychology and cognitive neuroscience repeatedly confirm, that we are not often or even sometimes in control, especially when we think we are. That there are things that go bump in the night of the mind, things that inform and influence our behavior. That we are easily, as the psychologist Daniel Goleman puts it, overtaken by, and I love this phrase, neural hijacking. That most of our choices, in fact, are not rational, even if we pride ourselves accordingly, but driven by deeper subconscious impulses and motives, many of which, even after years of introspection and talk therapy, we will never see. This is why the words of Jesus in today's gospel are so pertinent, so relevant. His followers don't even know they are bound. And guess what? Neither often do we. I'd like to offer one contemporary example concerning how we're bound even when we're physically free. What do airports, coffee shops, playgrounds, concerts, restaurants, and sporting events all have in common? They are all filled with people totally captive to their phones. Have you noticed that? I mean, seriously, take 5 minutes in the airport and you'll see exactly what I mean if you don't already. When I was a kid, thanks to books, movies, and television, I thought the future would bring flying skateboards and flying cars. If you'd have told me that this future is what would happen, that the majority of the American population would be bound to digital devices, obsessively pecking away at digital keyboards, their necks craned and hunched over their portable phones, I would have never believed you, not in 1,000 years. I'd have said, you're crazy. And if you told me, I would struggle with the same thing, that even though using my phone this way causes me extreme stinging pain in my neck thanks to 2 spinal surgeries, I still do it, and frequently. Again, I would have said, you are crazy. After all, I'm free, right? Am I? Are you? Jesus and Paul speak a language different from ours, They speak of sin in the singular, again, as a kind of power that overtakes us and compels us to do things that harm us. Everyone, says Jesus, who commits sin is thus a slave to sin. Because for Jesus and for Paul, again, sin is a power, a force of what we'd call today an addiction. And addictions, given the example I just cited, are a lot more common than you think. Our phones, for example, were designed in many ways to captivate us, to keep us coming back, to hook us. Watch what happens when you try to take a screen away from a small child, and you'll realize why the inventors and developers of smartphones refuse to allow their own children access to this technology. Digital or otherwise, man may be born free, but he is everywhere in chains. So what do we do? How do we become more free? Well, the first and maybe best thing we can do is acknowledge that we are not free, that we are powerless, to be honest regarding our situation and refuse to live in denial. This is something, as I mentioned earlier, we do at the beginning of our worship service today. Something support groups, especially AA, have been doing for decades, based on what our religious tradition has been doing for centuries. Acknowledging our powerlessness. Recognizing, in fact, that we are not free. The second thing we can do is to know that we are, as Paul says in Galatians 5, called to freedom. That being captive in whatever form is not something God, who lives and who loves in freedom, wants for us. That God's glory is our freedom, which is precisely the life to which we are called by Jesus in today's gospel. When I left university life as a professor 3.5 years ago, I was bound in more ways than I care to share to habits and coping mechanisms of self-destruction. Knowing I was captive and that this is not what God wanted for me was the beginning. Knowing that I was called to freedom, that I might, as 1 Timothy 6:19 says, take hold of the life that is really life, was the first step. Now, I'm not saying this cured me or freed me entirely, but it was enough. Enough to put me on the right path. And today, I am more centered, more content, and more thankful than I've been for most of my adult life. I was called to freedom. And thanks be to God, so are each of you. Are you free? Perhaps the only question of its kind, where no is the beginning of yes. May God accordingly inspire you, as God did me, to want freedom, to hear God's call to freedom, and to make you free as he promises in Jesus Christ, the freest person who ever lived. Amen.